It's a great thing to be able to celebrate the gift of Christmas, and kind of a special thing to have that on a Sunday morning, you know, to come together into worship and to gather around the story and to spend a little bit of time in the Word and just reflect on what that means to us. At this Christmas time, I mean, I know we have a lot of presents. I just want you to take a moment, maybe turn to somebody next to you and share with them just for a moment what one of your favorite Christmas presents ever was, okay? So just turn to somebody next to you. It's okay to talk in church. Now, I want you to talk about something else that may seem just a little bit different. It is intended to be different. Now, I want you to think about on today, regardless of whether it was Christmas or not, what's something that is a treasure to you today? What's something that you value really significantly today? Maybe it's something that's going on in your life. I don't know. Just turn to somebody next to you and say, hey, this is something that I treasure that's really important to me today. That can be a little bit deeper conversation, can it? You know what I mean? Kind of reflecting upon some of the things. Maybe it's some of the people who are actually sitting next to you are actually what you're treasuring today. I mean, that's a gift to have some friends and family with you. Maybe there's other things happening. One of the verses, and this is what I love about Christmas, when I've had a chance to, you know, already preach kind of the Christmas Eve service, we can kind of look at something else this morning. There's two sentences in Luke chapter 2 that I love that may kind of get pushed to the side sometimes in Christmas. We've read it this morning. We read it yesterday at Christmas Eve, one of them, and it's found in Luke 2, verse 19. And it says this, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." And that comes right after the shepherds had come. So she's taking in that shepherds from the Bethlehem fields have come to bow down in worship of her baby. She's taking in, probably reflecting upon everything that's happened up to this point, their journey from Nazareth for the census down to Bethlehem, the baby being born. She's treasuring that like any mother would. She's probably reflecting upon the time that angel came to her and gave her this pretty powerful message that she was going to have a child by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that was going to be part of a significant part, the ushering in of God's new plan. She's treasuring these things. She's pondering them in her heart. And then it says, and later on in that chapter in Luke, and this is after a very different story, but it says this in Luke 2:51. Then he went down to Nazareth with them. This is Jesus. Went down to Nazareth with his parents, Joseph and Mary, and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. This is after a really different story. You know, the boy Jesus, the young boy Jesus, probably around 12 years of age, you know, hides out basically in the temple while his parents go back from Jerusalem to Nazareth, and they don't discover that he's gone for a few days into the journey, which is always sort of funny to people, you know, like, how did they not know? But when the whole family and the extended friends head out in kind of a group, they just assumed he was with somebody else, some part of the family. It wasn't really a big deal. That was normal. And they go on their way, and I think it's funny because they find him, you know, in the temple, and they're like, why did you do this to us? Joseph and Mary are saying that. And Jesus says, didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? And I think it's a different sort of treasuring in her heart that Mary experiences in Luke 2:51 versus Luke 2:19. Because you get the sense in Luke 2:51 that she and Joseph are kind of confused, astounded by what's happening, and it's leading to a reflection, a pondering, a deep reflection and treasuring inside of their hearts. Those two words are just slightly different there in Luke 2:19 and 2:51. You may not care about that, but they're different forms of the same word, the same verb with two different prefixes if you're an English major like I was, that basically have that same range of meaning, to take something in, to reflect upon it, to keep it with you in your memory and your remembrance, to let it to be observed, to be guarded in your memory as something special and unique. Here's Mary in these two very different circumstances, taking these experiences, these memories, these moments, and sort of guarding them in her heart and mind, taking them inside of her, seeing them, valuing them, remembering them as if they're significant not just for her, but I think she guarded them, and then we have them in the Bible because she did that. It's interesting to think about. Luke has these accounts because Mary has not forgotten many years later what happened. That's pretty special. We have the memories of Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit guarded not just for her and Joseph and a few people, but for the church for 2,000 years. That's treasuring something, right? Something unique is happening here. Here in Jesus, and I know we know some of these things already. You know, what's amazing to stop and think about on that night in Bethlehem when Jesus is born, it says in Colossians 1, one of my favorite passages, that in Jesus, basically the focused presence of God is revealed in Jesus. Let me read it so I don't misquote scripture, which is a bad thing for a pastor to do. Let me just read it. We memorized it in the Colossians series, but I'm going to read it again. The Son is the image of the invisible God. That's enough right there. The Son is the image of the invisible God. And I know I've said this probably way too many times. If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. Here in Bethlehem, and the angels talk about it, and the shepherds begin to comprehend it, and Mary begins to treasure and reflect on it. The glory of God is focused in a human baby, flesh and bone, fully man, yes, and fully God. The glory of God is focused in this moment inside of this child that's going to grow up. I was just, sorry, I'm going to put Ryan and Lori Schaffler on the spot. I was just greeting them before the service, and they said they remember the time when they got to play Mary and Joseph in one of the Christmas Eve services. Do you guys mind that I'm just talking about it? And we were talking about how big their kids are getting and thinking about the moment when, you know, Jesus grew up. Between Luke 2:19 and Luke 2:51, there's about 12 years that happen, and then we see Jesus grows up, and his public ministry really begins around the age of 30 or 33 or so. He's in that time span, and the glory of God is focused in this flesh and blood human being who is fully man, yes, but also fully God. He's the image of the invisible God. It's an amazing thing. What does it mean that the glory of God is focused in Jesus? What does it mean that he's the image of the invisible God? Well, in Jesus, all the power of God is focused. The same power of God that spoke all of creation into existence by a word, that power of God is focused in Jesus. As the glory of God is revealed in his power, right, even in that moment. We see that as the miracles come on the scene as Jesus' ministry continues. We'll see it when we get to the cross. Even though it seems like weakness there, in the weakness of humanity, the power of God is revealed as at the cross, Jesus triumphs over the powers and the principalities in sin and evil and darkness. It's astounding that the glory of God is focused in Jesus and the power of God is focused in Jesus. It's the holiness of God. It is focused in Jesus, who's the image of the invisible God. You may remember the covenant, the agreement God made with Noah after the flood, that he would never again send a flood like that over the earth, and the rainbow was the sign of the covenant, the Noahic covenant, the covenant with Noah. It was a reminder that God was a holy God, and he would not tolerate sin, and that in Jesus, all of the holiness of God was being focused as he walked upon the earth. The glory of God was focused in Jesus and his holiness. It says in the scriptures that he was tempted in every way like us. That's an amazing reality. Just realize that when you face temptations in your life, Jesus is tempted like that, but he did not sin, it says in the book of Hebrews. The holiness of God is focused in the glory revealed in Jesus, who is fully God and fully man on this Christmas day. The grace of God is focused in Jesus. Remember the covenant with Abraham, the agreement with Abraham? I will bless you, and through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That's the grace of God showered upon a humanity touched by sin and evil and brokenness. The God who is a gracious and powerful God brings his blessing into humanity, and he focuses that through Abraham. And here in Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the glory of God is focused in his power like creation, in his holiness like what happened with the flood, and in his grace like what was given to Abraham. How tremendous that the holiness and the grace of God are focused in the very same moment in Jesus. That's something to celebrate this morning. Not just those things, but the glory of God focused in Jesus means this, that the truth of God about all of existence is focused in Jesus. Remember the covenant made with Moses on Mount Sinai. where the Ten Commandments and the great teachings about who God was were delivered into Moses' hands so that he could deliver that to the people. This is the instruction, the great law of the Jewish people is given to Moses and is given to the people so that they might know the truth of God, not just to do and don't do this, but might encounter in their lives the pathway on which to walk so that they might honor God and please God. That great truth that comes to Moses is now focused in Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the image of the invisible God, and all the power of God, and all the holiness of God, and all the grace of God, and all the truth of God is focused here in Jesus of Nazareth. What a gift. The glory shines. Come and worship a God who longs to reveal who he is and what he's like into the midst of our lives. It's an amazing thing. And then you go to the great promise, the great covenant that was given to David. He says, on your throne, David, there will always reign someone who comes from your descendants. And the prophets pick that up in Isaiah and other places. And as those gospel accounts are given about the birth of Jesus, and the word is given to Mary that Jesus is going to be born, it says that he will come in David's line. And the great promises of God, the faithfulness of God that was focused in that promise to David, is now focused in Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. His very presence in the midst of the world tells us that God is faithful. The very faithfulness of God is focused in Jesus. He has not forgotten us. I know we all may feel sometimes like God has forgotten us. We may feel alone. We may feel sometimes abandoned, but Jesus, in his very presence, all the glory of God is focused in him, and the faithfulness of God is shown forth in Jesus. Oh, it's the power of God. It's the holiness of God. It's the grace of God. It's the truth of God, and it's the faithfulness of God, which are now focused in Jesus of Nazareth, fully God and fully man. Emmanuel, God is with us. He is the image of the invisible God. So holy and gracious God is here for you. That's what Christmas means. A faithful and powerful God is here for you, and no promise that he's ever made will fall to the ground not fulfilled. Every promise of God is yes and amen in Jesus. That's the glory of God. That's what we celebrate at Christmas Day, is the wonder that God would show up like that and affirm who he is so strongly for us by being present in the world. And Mary, she begins to treasure these things up. The greatness of God is focused in not just that glory that's seen in God, but also the glory of humanity is focused in Jesus. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. But if you want to know what it means to be a human being, look at Jesus. If you want to know what it means to be a human being who's not affected by sin, evil, and brokenness, but operates even in the middle of a context like that, but is able to stay above the fray, you know we say that? If you want to know what it looks like for a human being to stay above the fray of sin, evil, and death, then look at Jesus. What's the glory of humanity? Can I just suggest that the glory of humanity is what the Apostle Paul says, the things that remain, faith, hope, and love are the glory of humanity. Now, I know we can talk about great athletic performances and all sorts of other things that can be glorious, but if we want to know what the essence of untarnished humanity looks like, it's a humanity that has faith, that has connected back to the living God who has made us. The essence of sin is a separation from God, right? That means we are our relationship with God is broken apart. But the heart of faith is a restoration of that relationship. It says that Jesus operated in unceasing fellowship with the Father. He was always in perfect relationship with God. He never did anything. This is what he said, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me. That's humanity in its glory, living out of the place of faith in connection to the living God. Most of us struggle with that, right? I struggle with that sometimes. There's pressures that come on us in life. There's things that happen, seasons of life. And in the midst of those seasons or situations or pressures or stresses or fractured relationships, we struggle to stay in the place of connection to the living God. Now, Jesus lived in that unceasing fellowship, and out of that place, he lived a fully human life. He was fully God, the glory of God focused in the image of God seen in Jesus Christ, but he was also fully man. He was a real human being. The way human beings were supposed to live out of that place of relationship with the living God, he was a man of faith. He was a man of hope, and we know what it's like to lose hope in the world, right? We read about what's happening in Aleppo, Syria, and we lose faith in humanity. Sometimes we lose faith in God over things like that. We walk through dark valleys and we lose hope that God could still do something here. We believe God's out there, but we lose hope. Here's Jesus walking through the midst of broken humanity. And whether he sees a woman whose son has just died, or a person living out in the caves oppressed by demons, or a person of great power who's lost focus in their life and doesn't even understand the elemental truths of religion in which they were attained, like Nicodemus, Jesus never gets cynical. See, the perfect human is someone who keeps hope even when it feels like things are hopeless. Jesus walks in an unceasing faith of relationship with the living God, but he also maintains a level of hope in the midst of a world that can steal the hope out of our lives and out of the room and out of situations. That's the work of the evil one, who it says he came to rob, to steal, to kill, and destroy. And one of the things he destroys and robs out of our life is the hope that anything good can happen. Maybe something good can happen for someone else, but not here, not me, not now. We begin to think, and Jesus comes and shows us what it means to be fully alive as a human being in hope that God has not given up. In fact, that's his very name. God is with us, which is the essence of having hope. That's the glory of humanity. Jesus lives in that place. And then there's love. If we talk about the glory of humanity, the love that God gives us. We were reading this morning as a family, as we were around our own little Advent wreath, and David was doing the children's ministry, like there was a spiraling like calendar. We got to the final reading today, and I didn't know what I was expecting, but the reading for today was John 3:16, which I thought, oh, that's a pretty good verse for Christmas Day, but not the one I immediately think of. I think of Luke 2 or some other thing, Isaiah chapter 9. For God so loved the world, Isaiah 3:16. For God so loved the world. Jesus comes full of love. See, because what it means to be human is to maintain the capacity to love others. And even when people wronged Jesus, even when he hung on the cross, as the people, that's us, not just one people group or not just one society, as people were affixing him to the cross because of sin and evil and brokenness, you remember that thing that Jesus says? Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Could you imagine still living out of the place of love while all of humanity was destroying you? That's love. In Jesus, the glory of humanity is focused as he lives out of the place of unceasing relationship, the life of faith with the living God. As in the midst of a context where hope is sucked out, Jesus maintains hope and continues to display hope to a world in every echelon of society. And there is Jesus, even at the last moments of his earthly life, living out of the place of love. The glory of humanity is displayed in Jesus. So come, let us adore him. There is no one like Jesus, fully man, showing us what it means to be a human again, and fully God, the image of the invisible God, and all the power and the holiness and the faithfulness and the truth and the grace of God, all brought to these places together. Now, this is something to treasure. And each and every one of us, where we find ourselves this morning on this Christmas day, there's so many things to celebrate. There's so many things to enjoy. I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope you eat some great food. I hope you have great conversations with friends and family. I hope you have an opportunity to just have unexpected joy today. But here's an unexpected joy that you can celebrate every single day. God is with us. Fully God in Jesus Christ. All the power, the holiness, the truth, the faithfulness, the grace, and the picture of what it means to be human is restored to us. There's another way to live. There's another way to live by the power of Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. God plants something new in us. So men and women, boys and girls, today let's treasure Jesus. Let's store all these things up in our hearts. Let's let it resound in that places, the things that just cause joy to us and even the things that sort of astound us and confuse us. May we be people like Mary and Joseph who just see those things, who take them in, who value them, who receive them and say, this is the treasure of my life. Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, it's something to treasure. I hope we can do it today. If there's any other day when we should treasure Jesus, it's to come to this place. So see it again today. Receive it again today. You may be here, and I'm just got to say it, it's Christmas morning. If there's any other time I should be preaching the gospel, it better be today. Apart from Jesus, we are stuck. We are stuck in brokenness. Apart from Jesus, we are cut off from the living God. We are separated. Apart from Jesus, we are lost in the cycle of a broken humanity. But when we reach out to God by faith, which just means says, we need you, God. I'm flexing the muscles of belief and getting a hold of you. In that place, God brings us into a new reality. His power and presence comes into our life as we believe Jesus is who he was, fully God and fully man, and something new begins to happen. Maybe it's time for us to receive it for the very first time. I don't know where you're coming from today, but I just have to say it out loud. Maybe today is the day of salvation for you. You thought, I didn't know I needed to be saved. None of us did at one point. Then we began to see what was going on out there in the world and what was going on in here in our lives. And we thought, I think I need somebody to rescue me from myself and from all that. That's what Jesus came to do. And to bring us into a new life, receiving it just means, like Mary and Joseph, treasuring Jesus as the one who brings life for you. To see it, to receive it. And many of us have received it before, but it's time to come back to that place of valuing it, just to stop even in this day and say, God, I've got a lot of gifts. Maybe some of us have no gifts today. That's okay. There's one gift that nobody has to buy us and we don't have to have taken away. It's not going to break. It's not going to wear out. It's the gift of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Maybe it's, again, just to say today, God, I value who you are. Just to come back to that place. It doesn't matter how much you own or how much you don't own. There's a treasure that you can treasure today. And to remember as we go through our days and years and we see other people grow up and we see ourselves grow up, that Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's something to celebrate, isn't it? I'm just going to ask you if you could just sing a song with me today. You guys know me. This is my family knows me. I like to sing. We just want to sing that one little chorus from O Come All Ye Faithful, O Come Let Us Adore Him, O Come Let Us Adore Him, O Come Let Us Adore Him, Christ the Lord. Can we do that? And I don't know if I'm going to be like in a good key or not, but we'll just give it a shot, okay? O come let us adore him, O come let us adore him, O come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Can we sing that one more time? O come let us adore him, O come let us adore him, O come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Maybe you're tired of it. We're going to sing it one more time. O come let us adore him, O come let us adore him, O come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Well, Lord, I guess that says it. We adore you. You are our treasure in this life. Thank you for a day when we can just express that to you. Lord, you've been so generous towards us, we really can't express it other than to say thank you for drawing near. Father, thank you for your wise plan. Jesus, thank you for being Emmanuel. Holy Spirit, thank you for just being the power of God through the whole story and even in our lives today. Lord, lead us into that new place. For some of us, for the very first time, just saying, Lord, I believe. I'm yours. But for all of us to say, Lord, we love you, we adore you, we value you, and treasure you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.